Welcome into a Wednesday edition of the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you. Coming up, we're going to ask you to head into a time machine, go grab a Toronto Blue Jay from their prime, bring them back to now so they can play game three tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays. Who are you going to get? Locker's saying,
Doc, Roy.
Roy Halladay. Juan Guzman had some solid starts for the Jays.
You know who we've gotten the most?
Who?
Hanky.
Tom Hanky?
Yes.
The closer.
He's come in like
went and got the accountant to finish off games.
He's come in like five or six times. I think that's because everybody is like, this team needs a closer.
What have I been saying for the last 2 months? So that's coming up at 4:38 this afternoon. But right now we're going to talk Blue Bombers football ahead of the Riders and the Bombers. It's not the Labor Day Classic. It's not the Banjo Bowl. But it's a big game for Winnipeg. Derek Taylor, the voice of the Blue Bombers, joining us once again. Derek, how's your Wednesday?
Very good. Just anticipating what I thought was going to be the game of the year in the CFL, and instead it's maybe the game that saves the Bombers' season.
Yeah, it was. What could this game mean? Even the Riders BC at the end of the season, but the Riders have it all locked up. Like the Blue Bombers are usually doing at this time of year. What is this like? I talked to Retta Kramdy today, and I forgot that usually the Bombers are like, oh, we're locked in. They got a playoff spot. So this is a little bit new territory for some of these Blue Bombers. Derek, how are they handling the pressure?
Yeah, by week 20, usually they've got first place wrapped up, right, in these last few years. They seem to be, I mean, they're all saying the right things, right? Hey, we're going to go 1-0 this week. We're just focused on winning, and wherever we end up in the playoffs will settle itself. But, I mean, for a guy like Brady Oliveira, all he's ever known in his career is going to Grey Cups. And now they might finish fifth in the West Division if things go really sideways these last couple of weeks, right? So it is a weird spot to be in. But, you know, defensively, I think they maintain a lot of confidence. Offensively, I think they would like to have confidence. But that's the side of the ball that's kind of let them down throughout this. Most of the season, let's say that.
We were having a little bit of fun in the Green Zone Lounge earlier, Derek, and we were discussing the possibility of a four-way tie for second in the West. Is that something that has crossed your radar yet? Have you looked at the possibilities? Did you realize that there's a coin toss rule in the...
it's incredible. The number of things you'd have to be even to get to that coin toss. I can't imagine the CFL will ever get there, but I do not hope for a four. Part of me hopes for a four-way 9-9. Let's say that, because total chaos. But the Bombers would be fifth in that, and they'd be out of the playoffs in a four-way 9-9. So let's not get any of that going on. We don't need any of that.
We don't need any of that.
But they started the season like wins against BC and Edmonton and stuff. So.
Are you sure they're out?
So they'd be out? I thought they had a decent record against those other teams they'd be tied with.
Here's the problem. Any tiebreaker that involves Calgary really sticks it to the Bombers, because the Bombers went 0-3 against Calgary.
Okay.
The Bombers would win a tiebreaker if it was BC, if it was Edmonton, if it was Edmonton and BC. But if it's Calgary and Edmonton, the Bombers finish third in that. If it's Calgary and BC, the Bombers finish second in that, just because you don't play every team three times, right? And to have lost three to the Stampeders really hoops them. So we're looking for, we need a Bombers win, and we need Calgary to get to 10 wins, and then everything is safe after that.
We actually, this is how far down the rabbit hole we got, Derek. We were actually talking about the possibility of the televised coin toss and what that would look like.
Can you imagine the commissioner has one representative from each team? You have to have them in a centralized location, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't just do a coin toss on Zoom, right? So, the two.
Did you watch the NHL draft this year?
No, I hope nobody did, because we don't need to ever see that stuff again. That's just terrible. But, yeah, a coin toss would be – I'm sure some sport at some point has gotten to the coin toss. But, gosh, let it not be, because those haven't been good to the Bombers.
Derek Taylor joining us, voice of the Bombers. Okay, they beat Hamilton 40-3. They go on a bye week. Then they lose to Edmonton. Who are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? Derek?
We have, here's what we know. We know they're a good defensive team. Like, they're number one in points allowed, offensive points allowed. They're a good defensive team. They, for the whole season, had the lowest completion percentage against. They held Cody Fajardo to his lowest passing output of the season. The two games Trevor Harris played against them, those were not good Trevor Harris games. The two games Bo Levi Mitchell played, he needed to be really aided by turnovers in order to get touchdowns in those games. This is a defense that can, they don't sack the quarterback, they don't force a ton of turnovers, but they stop opposing offenses. So we know that. We know they have really good special teams, right? Sergio Castillo's probably the third best kicker in the league. Jamison Sheehan is a top-level punter. Four return touchdowns from Trey Mauvel. We just have no idea what offense the Bombers are going to have on a given day, right? 40-3 against Hamilton, you mentioned. Zach Kolar's pinpoint firing. Everything's awesome. Brady Oliveira's running the heck out of the football. And then last week, they couldn't handle Edmonton's pressure. And, you know, teams like Montreal really, really get to them with their confusing blitzes and stuff like that. And it's just been a nightmare. Minus 11 in turnover differential is almost exclusively on the offense in that case. And you go, this is a problem. And if you could say, hey, you know what? You have the third best offense in the league. I think the Bombers could really go far, but there's a lot of wing and a prayer as they head toward, you know, this week against Sask, next week against Montreal, and maybe a playoff game at Montreal of, can they score enough points to compete with some of these teams? Heaven forbid you get in the game with BC, who could put up 40 at the drop of a hat, it seems like these days. I don't know that we certainly can't count on the Bombers having that. We just don't know if that's going to be possible in the important games.
If I'm downtown Winnipeg, maybe on Portage, and I'm trying to test the fans, I got sort of a finger in the air to sort of see how everybody's feeling. How would you describe how the fans are feeling about this? Because there's the supports there. I mean, you guys keep filling the barn, but this is a frustrating team, as we've just sort of highlighted.
Yeah, they're frustrated with, I think they're frustrated with Zach Kolar's as the quarterback, and maybe, and probably even more so with Jason Hogan as the offensive coordinator. Late in that game last week, 2nd and 4, they see Zach ripping the ball, you know, intermediate or deep downfield. It's probably 20 yards downfield to Pokey Wilson, incomplete. It's 3rd and 4, kind of games on the line. Zach tries to just bomb one to Jarrett Stearns. Stearns is nowhere near where the ball lands. Turnover on downs, and fans go, why are you doing this? Why do we hear so many times the phrase kill shot coming from the coaches and things like that? What is happening here? Why are you guys not hitting the easy buttons in situations like this? I think there's a great deal of frustration with the offense, because we have seen in that Hamilton game in week 4 against Edmonton, we've seen, this offense with Zach can look fantastic. It can look like a world beater, and then sometimes they score in the opening drive, and then we don't hear from them until the 4th quarter. It's really an uncomfortable place to be.
Derek Taylor, voice of the Bombers, here on the Green Zone as getting set for Friday's game. Sense of relief in Winnipeg, though, that it's probably going to be Jake Mayer and, you know, A.J. Ouellette and Micah Johnson are being rested for this one. Get a little bit of a break or not?
They will not admit to anything, but when you look at Trevor Harris, who for the longest time was my MOP, 1,000-yard running back, what looks like Johnson and Myers haven't practiced this week, the two best, you know, 2,000-yard receivers out of there. No Micah Johnson, Rolla Milligan's not coming back yet. Like, that's such a massive boost. And, you know, Saskatchewan, you know, nobody in Winnipeg will kind of talk about, oh, well, they'll say, hey, we play whoever they put out there. I'll be ready for Micah Johnson, Chris Kolankowski said, but, you know, I'll play whoever they put across from me. They get a real plus from this, right? That Saskatchewan is choosing this game to perhaps get some guys some rest is a massive boost to the Bombers. And, you know, as much as they won't say that in the post game if they beat Saskatchewan, Doug Brown and I will be like, oh, okay, that worked out real well in the Bombers' favor, because Saskatchewan had bigger priorities than a third game against the Bombers. So it's one of those spots where I think they probably have to know, hey, that's a nice piece of fortune for us, but that's football, and, well, we can only play who they put out there.
So, Derek, one of the conversations that we've had off-air, it's not really a conversation, it's Jamie yelling at Clouds, is when people text in about the potential crossover possibility and then Winnipeg having to use the visitors' dressing room in Winnipeg.
No, they get their room. They're not going to be evicted.
No one's going to believe you. I thought maybe we would let Derek address it. I've literally seen it come in today three times. People are excited about the possibility that Winnipeg will have to use the visitors' dressing room in Winnipeg if they did make the Grey Cup.
It would be hilarious if that was the case, but as I understand it, the West team, you know, the Grey Cup's in the West team is the home team, but if the host city's team is in there, they get to keep their own locker room. I understand that was done years ago to kind of make these awkward situations not happen, whereby the Riders are in the Bombers locker room and the Bombers are in, you know, the one down the hall. So as I understand it, the Bombers would get to keep their own locker room. And in this case, the Riders as the West representatives, though they are technically the home team for the Grey Cup, would be in the other locker room. So it saves some awkwardness. I think that's foresight from the CFL.
Thank you, Derek. Nobody believes me here. I'm like, they don't. It's not the rule. They get to keep their room if they go through the crossover. Anyways, final question, which is another question I get a lot from Rider fans who are going to Grey Cup. Halftime show? Is it going to be Derek Taylor and company? Or
we have some ideas.
Karaoke with Jamie Nye. Locker plays harmonica.
I'm just going to rip off harmonica for half an hour.
What is the expectation? Are you hearing anything in Winnipeg on an announcement coming soon on the halftime show?
I think maybe two people I haven't heard of, and the first half of Florida-Georgia line, since Saskatchewan had the other half of Florida-Georgia line. Isn't that how that one worked out? It's so strange because it took Saskatchewan quite a while to announce its breakup. June was when we knew that the Jonas Brothers were doing Vancouver. We're like, oh my gosh, okay, wow, let's go. And yeah, it's October 15th of a November 16th Grey Cup, and I haven't heard a thing. I don't really have my ear to the ground on the halftime show, but it is really strange that we
bring back Trooper.
Yeah, no.
I mean, there are people who would want somebody with a Winnipeg connection. My pal Ben Kramer, I think, suggested that Fred Penner do it. I don't know if Fred's this, but Winnipeg connection and Fred Penner, I don't know if it plays exactly the way that
Kenny
that,
Shields, you know, hologram.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. It is really unusual. I don't know what goes into making stuff like that happen. Maybe it's the big surprise that Taylor Swift's coming on down. Who knows? If she's got a hole in her schedule to promote her new album. But yeah, this is just like it was with Sass. This is really unusual that we've gotten this far and we don't know what's. I mean, the halftime show it's a big deal within the Grey Cup, right? So yeah, I'm in an uncomfortable place right now. 32 days out from the Grey Cup.
Yeah, November 4th is when the Riders announced that Grey Cup, which it was a little bit of a letdown announcement for the Grey Cup. Hopefully, not so for the Bombers. In Winnipeg, coming up, of course, in November. Derek, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Derek.
And I'll see you in a few weeks in Winnipeg.
Yes, and if we have time, we can rehearse our acapellas in case they need some sort of Grey Cup. We could be like a Boys to Men knockoff band for the Grey Cup halftime. What do you guys think?
Oh, I am in. Absolutely.
Maybe. I think I'd rather remove a toe.
Okay, locker's out. But
maybe in locker featuring DT. I'll be like Mariah Carey was on that one Boys to Men song. I'll just come in on one sweet day and really bring it home.
Derek, appreciate it as always. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me.
That is Derek Taylor here on the Green Zone, voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. As we continue.
Not your Grey Cup halftime show voice. Regardless of what you heard on the Green Zone today.
Britain doing Creed.
A little higher. He'll close with arms wide open.
This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Wednesday. We are going to take you back in time as we get ready for the Blue Jays and the Seattle Mariners. Tonight, game number 3, it is a series that the Jays do not have history on their side. A team that has lost their first two games at home have only come back three times in the history of Major League Baseball to win a best of seven series. One of those actually happened against the Blue Jays back in the 80s. 1-877-332-8255. So the Jays may need a little help. So we're asking you, get into the DeLorean.
One more quick stat. We talked about this earlier, but this is also the first time since 1970 that the two teams in the championship,
yes,
on the NL and the AL side, have won the first two games on the road. But that never happens either.
Yeah, we're going to...
Like, that could mean
that it's good. This is a good sign? I don't think it means anything other than both the Milwaukee Brewers and the Jays better get it in gear real quick, or it's going to be a quick exit in
Watch
the championship
series. Go seven.
Do you want to put it on the board?
No, not yet. Let me
think about that.
So.
One. Yeah. But
I got a lot of really stupid stuff on the board right now. I don't need to add to it.
The Blue Jays might need some help. We're asking you, go back into the DeLorean, whatever year, whatever the date, find that player, bring them back and put them in the Jays lineup tonight to get a win in Seattle. Who is the player you're picking? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Right away, Wheels comes into the Green Zone Lounge way too often, in my opinion, but the first guy out of his mouth.
We do get a lot of visits from him.
I think he misses the Green Zone. But
does he have like more than one Jays?
No, he wears the same jersey every day. That red blue Jays jersey, it might be growing on him now, like literally getting roots.
So I'm not the only one that's a little concerned about his hygiene.
The same hat too. The last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, we're both concerned.
Simpatico.
I'm more concerned about that than I am your face. But anyways,
I'm more concerned about my face and the teeth I lost.
Locker face planted on a scooter last week. If
you find a tooth on Albert, drop it by the station, please. Because I don't think I swallowed it.
Wheels said Paul Molitor.
Sinking fast in right center and in for a hit. Henderson is in. Devon White is in. And Molitor has a triple.
Oh, he was so clutch. Like one of the best hitters in baseball history was Paul Molitor. 1-877-332-8255.
Wendell Clark?
Yeah, Wendell Clark hit a grand slam and then get in a fight. That's what somebody texted.
We're mixing sports. We're thinking out of the box. Wendell, go out there. If you don't hit the ball, start a fight.
That might work, actually.
There's our locker text of the day. Thank you.
Of course. A couple of people are saying this guy.
Here's a pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Yeah, Joe Carter might be a good pick to get a big home run.
Is Joe still, because he's in that ad.
Oh, yeah, he's...
He's still hanging out in...
Well, not in Toronto, but he comes up and down every so often. They do special events up in T.O. They invite him up for.
He's always up there if he's not living. He must have an apartment.
1-877-332-8255. How about this home run?
1-1 for Thompson. Batista with a try. Deep left field. No doubt about it.
Jose Bautista to hit a big home run for the Toronto Blue Jays?
A lot of people are leaning on the. Oh, we got another Jack Morris. A lot of people are leaning on the pitching staff, right? Because the bullpen. Because I think the biggest issue with this team right now and their issues with Seattle, and it was my concern leading into this series before we knew it was going to be Seattle, was Seattle's bullpen is way better. And then I was like, oh, well, they played 15 innings on the Friday night. They got to get up Saturday. They got to fly to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Toronto's had the 3 days rest. They're going to be fine. And then they just get...
Spanked. I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that's what happened in game one. I thought Seattle would be gassed. So Locker, who was your pick?
I got Doc.
The 3-2 pitch from Halliday swung on and missed, and down goes Teixeira. Another 1-2-3.
Yes.
Led the league in complete games, like in the modern era of baseball.
And now it wasn't as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays,
no.
But you remember he does have a no-hitter in the postseason when he was a Philadelphia Philly. So he had that postseason.
So he was drafted by the Blue Jays. He started with the Blue Jays, right?
Oh, yeah. He was.
So 95?
And he's, well, his number is retired after, yeah. Of course, his tragic passing. The Phillies and the Blue Jays retiring Roy Halladay's number. It was the other day Roy Halladay's kids were throwing the first pitch for the yeah. Phillies game on the anniversary of his yeah. no-hitter with
in
the
Philly.
Philadelphia
yeah.
Phillies. But yeah. still, a Blue Jay legend is the late, great Roy Halladay. I had a different pitcher come to mind.
That last pitch, 96 miles an hour, would indicate Guzman hasn't lost any arm strength. Long at bat for Frank Thomas. Two balls, two strikes. Cora at first. Nobody out here on the top of the seventh. Got him swinging.
Juan Guzman.
Yeah.
When, he was my favorite pitcher. He was undefeated in the 92 playoffs, 2-1. In the 93 playoffs, his ERA was exceptional, especially that 92 playoff run by the Toronto Blue Jays. Juan Guzman, that would be my pick for the Toronto Blue Jays bringing in. But there's two pitchers that are probably getting voted on more than our two. Dave Steeb and Jack Morris.
Jack, yeah.
A lot of love for Dave Steeb and Jack Morris from the late 80s Jays for Dave Steeb. And, of course, the Jays go out and get Jack Morris for 92. The legend of Jack Morris, he pitched 10 innings into extra innings in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen in analytics era no. anymore, but that is where some Blue Jays fans are going, is with a strong pitcher to be on the mound rather than Shane Bieber tonight for game three.
Not everyone's leaning on the pitching staff or bullpens or closers. A lot of Hankies, too. I think we mentioned that a couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, Tom Hanke.
Dave from Saskatoon. Tony Fernandez, shortstop.
Tony Fernandez.
Yeah.
A couple of leadoff guys. They want to see Roberto Alomar, although I think he was number two most of the time because they've got Ricky Henderson in to hit leadoff in 93. But Roberto Devon White was the leadoff guy. So Roberto Alomar, someone said leadoff, but no, he'd be the number two hitter for the Toronto Blue Jays. Maybe Devon White. John Olerud, would you swing him over?
We had a text from
the grit of Kelly Gruber. Talk about face plants. He did one of those in the playoffs. Cut up his chin.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember. Donaldson's come in. I thought
Josh
that was
Donaldson?
A little off the board.
No. He was the most annoying of them all in that era. They just were talking to him on Sportsnet. I'm like, Josh Donaldson, oh, he complained about more balls and strikes than I think anybody in the history of baseball. So I'm going to pass on Josh Donaldson.
So I'm curious about this locker room and whether or not they have those types of leaders, though. Because a couple of texts have come in where they're trying to, like, there's the perception that they're character guys. Like, mm-hmm. when someone brings up Joe Carter, they're like, you need a character guy like that winning
attitude.
Well, someone
said Dave Winfield.
Dave Winfield, right.
There's a motivator.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's a lacking thing on this.
Not with George Springer.
No.
Around, I don't think so. I mean, even Max Scherzer, right? He's a Hall of Famer. He's still around, even though he hasn't been pitching. He's still around that team. They have
and I even think
veteran president like Vladdy.
Vladdy on a certain level is also, because he's having so much fun.
Kraut's thinking outside the box. What he's doing in the DeLorean, he's only going back a month, preventing Bo Bichette from hurting his knee and having him in the lineup today. That's where he's going.
There's no rules.
He's just, back there, get Bo Bichette, make sure he doesn't collide at home plate so he doesn't injure his knee, so he's in the lineup today for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Should have gone head first, Bo. Should have gone head first.
Rod on the text line. Ed Sprague.
Sprague.
One big home run in the playoffs. So maybe it's because of his name. I just think it's fun to say. But he hit a couple of he hit a clutch home run, a clutch sack fly. He had a couple of clutch hits in that 92-93 playoff run.
He's come into a very difficult spot. And Maldonado takes an 0-2 pitch to deep center to win the ball game. On an 0-2 pitch, he gave him something that Maldonado could drive, and he drove it, driving in Alomar with the winning run.
Yes, Candy Maldonado.
Matt's going back to getting in the DeLorean. He's going back to Toronto to actually make sure that Ohtani's plane lands in Toronto and that they sign Ohtani and then they bring him back. So, Matt,
here's $800 million.
Matt's being very creative. He's even rewritten the contracts. So, that's a busy DeLorean night.
That's a lot of work to be done, right?
Yeah.
That is full on. You have to go back and, you know, get the sports scorebook and everything else. Have to make sure your dad punches somebody out to win the respect of your future mother. So, you know, all that other stuff.
You know.
Sorry if you haven't watched Back to the Future. That's kind of the plot.
Lie to Ohtani that he's in Los Angeles, right? The plane, honestly, you're in. This isn't Toronto.
David Wells getting a couple of votes now on some baseball players you'd go back in time to bring to the Jays for Game 3 tonight against Seattle. I love the creativity. 1-877-332-8255. Who would you bring back to play for the Jays tonight to get a W and turn this series around? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone. As we're asking you, which Blue Jay would you go back in time to pick up to put in the lineup today?
George Bell came in.
George Bell from the 80s Blue Jays. He was my favorite Blue Jay as the young
So he didn't make it to the World
Jamie
Series Jays?
No.
Okay.
All unfortunately. Right. Ernie Witter, Russell Martin, but I don't know about that. Alejandro Kirk's doing just fine at catcher, although his bat could pick up a little bit once again.
Surprised we didn't get more Roger?
Roger Clemens.
I'm surprised.
I brought this up in the Green Zone Lounge. Former Toronto Blue Jay. Not, of course, of the World Series Jays. However, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, medicated or not, and what do you do? Roger Clemens would work. He was a former Blue Jay. If you want to go get him to start. Now we're going to have to fight over who gets the start. Roy Halladay, Roger Clemens, Jack Morris, or Dave Steeb, or David Cohn, or David Wells, or Jimmy Key.
You have a stare off.
Oh, that's Dave Stewart. Dave Stewart would knock everybody down with one stare. Oh, there. Maybe that's the choice.
Bill wants the all-juiced up Clemens. I think Roy would have a better chance of passing the P test.
I'm starting to think now I almost want Dave Stewart just to see that stare down one more time with the glove over and just lock in. Oh, if looks could kill, he'd throw a no hitter every night with Dave Stewart. 1-877-332-8255. Now that someone spurred it on, now a couple of people clicked in and went, oh, yeah, Roger Clemens was a Blue Jay. Go get him in the lineup. Jay says Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion. Coming up next, Daryl Davis with a double take. We'll ask him which brewer he'd want to save his team after falling down 2-0.